You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
You know, thank God for the Word. Amen. Amen. Ultimately, it doesn't really matter what I think or you think or anybody thinks. What matters is what God says. And, you know, we look into the Word to find out what it is He does say. I like to say this. I don't really look into the Bible to find out if I believe. I go into the Bible to find out what I believe. If I am a believer, I've already made that decision. I accepted Jesus years ago. I believe the Bible. I trust Him and His Word. So, you know, from here on out, I'm just digging in there, finding out what it is I believe. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Y'all going to amen me, or you going to make it rough on me the rest of this? Okay. Any participation on your part would be appreciated. You can help me with this message. But, you know, when you go through the Scripture, you find out that God is good, obviously, and you find out that He loves us, and He's for us, not against us. And, yes, He's holy. Yes, He has a standard. Yes, there's a judgment day coming. But, you know, life is a series of choices that you and I make. And so what we find from the Bible is instruction, things to do, things to yield our life to if we trust Him, if we believe Him. And the results are evident, hallelujah, when we obey God, obviously, He'll do what He says. He's a God of His Word. We talk about faithfulness and being faithful, and should be, and rightly so. But God's always faithful. He's always faithful to do what He says. He's always faithful to, you know, perform His Word, as it were. If we meet the conditions, if we pray, we call, and we live the way we should. God's not confused about who He is.
That's right.
Are you out there? You know, people often say, well, you never know what the Lord's going to do. Oh, we know exactly what the Lord's going to do. It's you we're kind of concerned about. Okay. You and I are the flaky ones. We're the ones that are unpredictable and not constant. But God, He's pretty constant. He's the Lord God. He changes not. Right. He'll do what He says. Always do what He says. And in the Scripture, even in the Old Covenant, under the Old Testament, God's pretty adamant about wanting to bless us, wanting to make us the best we can be. You know, He made us. We're His children. And He wants the best for us. What father doesn't want the best for his children? Sometimes we have this idea that God's this great policeman in the sky that's just passing out tickets every time we, you know, commit a crime. Or that He's the big ogre with a stick just hitting us on the head. And often we're raised up with the idea, you know, that God's going to get you for that. You know, God sees everything you do wrong. I often get tickled at people who say, well, I just don't, Christians, believers, you know, they'll say, well, I'm just going through a dry period. I just don't feel His presence. I just don't feel like He's around. But, you know, if they were to stand up on a table and start cussing to the top of their lungs, they know God would hear them. Or as soon as you sinned, I did not tell you to go stand on a table and cuss the top of your lungs, okay? I'm just making a point here. I know if they robbed a bank, they know God would hear them and see them, and God would be there, and conviction would come. It's like we have this idea of God sees all of our sins, but He's just not aware of us until we do something wrong. I like that. Thank you, Tommy, for that. Think about it. But God's with us. He sees every good thing we do. He loves us. He's for us. He's proud in the sense that we forgave, that we prayed, that we did the right thing, made the right choice, and resisted that temptation, decided to help that person and bless this person. And He loves us. He's for us. He's not against us. And all through the Scripture, the instructions and the laws and the commandments that God gives us are for our benefit. They always are junctured with that it may be well with you, that you may live long, that you may enter the land, that you may have strength, that you may observe to do according to what is written therein. In other words, it's to bless us and to help us, that your children may live. Yeah. That you may live long and prosper, as Spock said. But this is real. This is not Star Trek. I know Ray watches a lot of Star Trek, and that's why he always comes up with those weird questions. But Numbers, the sixth chapter. Did I tell you where to turn to?
No.
Okay. Good. I can tell you to turn anywhere then. Numbers chapter 6. This to me is really, really cool. This is where the priestly blessing is what they call it. Actually, it was God blessing His people. And, of course, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, those are the first five books of the Bible, and often called the Law or the Pentateuch or the Torah. You know, the Jews call it the Torah. And there's a lot of instruction. There are a lot of commandments in there and so on and so forth. And we're not under that old covenant. I understand that. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Amen?
Yes.
Galatians 3:13 tells us that. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone who hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So we're redeemed from the curse. Chris and I were talking about this the other day, and he mentioned, yeah, we're redeemed from the curse. We're not redeemed from the blessing. Sometimes we think we've been redeemed from the blessing. We're not redeemed from the blessing. We're redeemed from the curse to be blessed.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, so, got that?
Yes.
Well, okay, tell your face. So, here, I'm not trying to be hard. Stay with me. I'm fighting a little back pain. So if I come on a little hard, we'll excuse me for that. I mean, we'll blame the pain. Okay, that's not me. It's just pain. You know. Number 6, priestly blessing. 22nd verse. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron. Aaron was the high priest, the Aaronic priesthood, the Levitical priesthood. Tell Aaron and his sons to bless the people of Israel with this special blessing. I like that. I think that's awesome. You know, I'm not, as a pastor, I'm not here to bust you. I'm not here to, you know, break your legs. I'm not here to hang you over hell and let your feet dance in flames. I'm not here to tell you how sorry, no good, and worthless you are. I'm here to tell you you can repent and you can come to heaven. I'm here to talk about sin, how bad it is, not supposed to do it, not supposed to commit it, but I'm here to tell you where the gate is, where you can get out of the prison. I'm here to point the way to heaven. I believe in hell, and we minister along those lines in the sense of talk about a judgment day, but we don't preach hell, we preach heaven.
Yes.
See, the world knows what the church is against. That's an amazing thing, and especially lost people, but they don't know much about what the church is for, and that's the church's fault. I think it's our fault as preachers, and I are one. Sometimes we're against so much, and we're against this, and we're against that, and we're against it. We're just against it, you know. And yet the church, the world doesn't know what the church is for. They don't know what we stand for. Well, I tell you, we stand for life. We stand for forgiveness. We stand for restoration. We stand for healing. We stand for hope and a destiny. We stand for love and all mercy and grace. We stand for eternal life. We stand for heaven. We stand for Jesus. We stand for what's good and right and just and holy and eternal. Hallelujah. And we believe there's hope for every person, every soul, every man, every woman, every child. Everyone in sin has hope in Christ if they'll repent. If they'll come to Him, if they'll turn, then God will take them in. We'll take them in. We're not against the homosexual. We're against homosexuality. We're not against the abortionist. We're against abortion. Are you with me? We're not against the murderer. We're against murder. See, don't make that distinction. See, that's what sometimes we don't make that distinction. In fact, bring the homosexual, bring the adulterer, bring the murderer, bring the liar, bring the cheat, bring the thief, bring the gossiper. If they'll come to Jesus, we'll take them. Your past can be over. You can start a brand new life. Hallelujah. You can be forgiven if you'll come to Jesus. Doesn't matter about your past. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter how many times you sin. What matters is, what are you going to do now? What about your future? Don't give up hope. Come to Jesus. Repent. We'll take you in. We love you. We're for you. God loves you. He doesn't hate you.
Amen.
And see, the church should be a place of restoration. It should be a place of people getting their lives back right with God. It should be a place of second chances and 1,000 chances. No, it's not an unholy place. No. It's not a place, you know, to continue in sin, but it's a place where you can come out of sin. It's a place where you can come back, come home. You can get hope and get a destiny. And so he told him, he said, bless these people. They had a lot of commandments. And there was, you know, you go through the Old Testament especially, there's a lot of commandments and, you know, a lot of penalties and so on and so forth. But there was no question what this is about. God wanted to bless those people. He wanted to love those people. He wanted to wrap them in His arms. He wanted to take them in like a mother hen takes their little chicks in and surround them and comfort them like Jesus said concerning Jerusalem. But they would not. And sometimes we will not. We're not of the right temperament. We're not of the right attitude, mindset. You know, we got too much pride. We don't come to God because we don't feel like we need God. And those that are whole need not a physician.
Yes.
Hello. You got to reach out. But if you will, He's there. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, is what Jesus said.
Amen.
So here He says, bless the people. Bless the people. Tell Aaron and his sons to bless the people of Israel with this special blessing. Of course, that's a New Living Translation I'm reading out of here. But he says, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Like that. Lord bless you and keep you. You know, that word keep in Hebrew is the same word where he told Adam to tend the garden and keep it. Take care of it. Actually, the same. That was you know, the second chapter, 15th verse, I believe. The third chapter, where after Adam and Eve sinned, they were driven out of the garden, and the cherubim with a flaming sword, you know, and that faced every direction, was set in front of the Garden of Eden to protect or to guard the gate or guard the entrance to the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve sinned. Well, that word guard there is the same word too. So, you know, it has a plethora of meanings. It's a regular cornucopia of meanings that it has. Every hue, it has all kinds of hues. And anytime y'all want to join in, it's fine, okay. But it means to take care of, to watch over, to guard. Remember when Abel was killed, Cain killed Abel, first murder in the Bible. And God came to Cain and he said, you know, where's your brother? And he said, well, am I my brother's keeper? That word keeper, same word, same Hebrew word here where it says, may the Lord keep you. In other words, I'm responsible. Am I responsible for my brother? Do I watch over my brother? Well, God says, and this is the blessing, and we're supposed to say this to the people. You're supposed to say this to people. We're all priests, kings and priests to our God. That the Lord would keep us, the Lord bless us and keep us, watch over us and guard us and protect us. Hallelujah. That's a good blessing.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah. Sure is, preacher. I love it. Amen. Don't stop now. Don't hang up now. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord protect you, one translation says. God wants to guard us. He wants to keep us. He wants to watch over us. But we got to let that happen. Isn't that right?
Yep.
You know, I'm thinking of Peter when he preached in the second chapter of Acts and he talked about Jesus coming. He says, God sent him to bless you. See, Jesus didn't come to curse us. He didn't come to hurt us. He didn't come to make our life miserable. He came to bless us. I don't know what your concept of God is, but it needs to be a little more scriptural probably. It's just like mine. I need to tweak it and hone it and get it more scriptural. God is here to help me. God is my hope. Hallelujah. He's my help and He is my blessing. He's the one that guards. He's the one that protects. He's the one that takes care of me. And they were to do this. You know, according to Jewish tradition, priests did this every day. They'd bless the people every day with this blessing. Many of you have heard this thing over and over. I mean, I'm sure you have. Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Amen? So, our concept should be right. In fact, this is just like Psalm 67. You know, Psalm 67 where it talks about, may the Lord bless you and let His countenance shine upon you. Well, that's right out of this right here. That's an awesome psalm. Only 7 verses. And power-packed with a blessing. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. Actually, what He's talking about is His face shining upon you. Amen? And His face there, incidentally, is presence. His presence. When God looks on you, His presence is there.
Yes. Yes.
It's translated that way also sometimes in the Old Testament where it talks about face. May His face shine upon you. I like that. You know, a face can be mean, and a face can be sweet. A face could be looking on you in favor, and a face could be looking on you with hate, but God's face shines. May God's face shine upon you.
Yeah.
I love that. May His presence go before you. That's what He's saying.
That's good.
And in the old covenant, that's what it did. The presence of God went before them everywhere they went. And the cloud that was over the tabernacle during the day and the fire that was over the tabernacle at night, when it moved, they moved. And the presence of God went before them. Moses even made the statement, you know, about God asking him to go. And he says, well, Lord, if you don't go with me, I don't want to go. If your presence doesn't go before me. What a terrible life not have the presence of God before us. Because the presence of God guards and it protects and it watches over. And it lines out details and it gives favor. And we need His presence.
Amen.
Good blessing. Amen. So His face shines or enlightens. You know, when you say shine, you mean enlighten, like the sun lightens the day. Sometimes we just need a little more light to see this thing clearly, to understand what to do, to know what to do. Psalms 119, verse 130 says, the entrance of Thy word gives light.
Yeah.
And it gives understanding to the simple. You ever been to where you didn't understand something? Happened to me one time. I think it was 2002. But anyway, when you get there, when you get to that place, if you know it all now, God can't help you. Okay? Can't help you. Because pride, it blocks revelation. It blocks God from helping you. You're not going to ask for help if you think you already know the answer. But he gives understanding to the simple. Think about that verse, Psalms 119, verse 130. The entrance of thy word gives light, and it gives understanding to the simple. Well, you got to come to the word open. You got to come to the word, Lord, what do you have to say to me today? You have to come to God's word with, you know what, I don't know everything. Lord, I'll be simple here. Just give me some understanding.
Yeah.
Give me some light.
Amen. It's good.
Hallelujah. And that's what the priest would do. He'd pray that God would bless them with enlightenment. Instead of just talking about how dumb they were, he would pray, God, make them smarter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen? And that's kind of the attitude we should have about people. Instead of just talking about what they don't know and why they can't get this right, why don't we pray God would enlighten them? Why don't we enlighten them? Why don't we bless them? That's what we're here to do, is to bless and not curse. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Man, it's good stuff. Love it. So, the Lord make His face shine upon and enlighten you and be gracious and kind and merciful and giving favor to you is what the Amplified says here. Man, I love that. Gracious, favor, mercy, merciful. Boy, if Jesus didn't do that, I don't know who did. If God didn't send Jesus to bless us, then who did come to bless us? Jesus came to be merciful to us. Thank God for mercy. Mercy is when you do something wrong and God forgives you. Mercy is when you are guilty. Mercy is not ignoring your sin. Mercy is acknowledging the fact that you have sinned and God forgiving you for it. I'm guilty. I need mercy. Woo! And God does that. Thank God He forgives your sins. Thank God He forgives my sins. Thank God He's given me the ability to forgive others' sins. Hallelujah. So the Lord make His face shine upon you and enlighten you and be gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor to you. Favor, hallelujah. I love favor. You know, favor just about wraps up everything in your life. You know, most people work on jobs because of favor. It's not because they're so smart, not because they had the best resume. They just had a brother-in-law that worked at the company. Well, I mean, really, come on. You know that's true. You know, in most cases, not every case. But favor is very, very important to have favor with people, you know. Hey, we're not going to heaven because of what we know. We're going to heaven because of who we know.
Yeah, that's right.
Isn't that right? I mean, I've got favor. I know Jesus. I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to heaven because I'm so great. You know, I'm not going to heaven because of all my good works. Just a good old boy. Well, just good old boys don't go to heaven. You got to know Jesus to go to heaven. Well, I'm not that bad. Well, you're not that good either. Don't kid yourself. You need to get over yourself. We got over you a long time ago. Hello, we're not going to heaven because of who we are. We're going to heaven because of who we know.
That's right.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
And He's made us better. I believe He changes us. I believe we're getting better. Absolutely. We're being conformed to His image. But, you know, it's a matter of favor. It's a matter of favor and grace. Grace is the same word as favor in the New Testament. And so God has graced us, and by grace are we saved through faith, that not of ourselves, not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Hallelujah. So, this is what the priest should pray. Lord, bless you and guard you or keep you, watch you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious and merciful to you. I like it. It's three times it says this, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. That's kind of like the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I mean, it says Jehovah here in the Old Testament, but three different times it says it with a little different accent on the Hebrew word Jehovah, incidentally, if you're a Hebrew scholar, which I am not. But He wants to bless us, not curse us. He wants to watch and guard over us and keep us, not destroy us and leave us in a lurch, as it were, and run off when things go bad. He wants to make His face shine, His presence to be in our lives. God really wants to be around us. I know that just may get all over you, and maybe you don't always want to be around God. I know I don't all the time. Oh boy. Well, I got some self-righteous stares then. You mean there's every single second you want to be around Him? There's times that I have to repent that I'm not right. Hello? There's times Brennan will quote me the Scripture and I don't want to hear the Scripture right then. Ask me to listen to some of my sermons. I don't want to listen to my sermon right then. Remind me of what I preached last week. You know? Hello? I'm wrong. I'm not defending myself. I'm just saying, you know, there's times I don't want to mess with it. You know? I need to repent at those times. I'm wrong at those times. But God wants to be around us. God really loves us.
Yes.
If you had a wallet, your picture would be in it. Amen?
Amen.
So He wants His presence to be with us. He wants to enlighten us and be gracious, kind, and merciful to us. And again, it's repetitive here in the 26th verse. Lord, the Lord lift up His countenance. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you. I like that because that's really, man, I don't know how God lifts up His countenance when He's above us. You know, under Jewish tradition, you know, they'll say that this blessing gives the picture of a father holding up his child and him lifting up his countenance and playing with his children. And he have his children up above him. And so he's holding them up like that, enjoying their presence and playing with them. Some, you know, Jewish tradition says that. We don't know that for a fact, but it's interesting. I know it's an idiom. It's a metaphor or simile. You know, it doesn't mean exactly what it's literally. It means that he's, you know, lift his countenance up. That he's not downtrodden with us. He's not discouraged with us, but he's encouraged with us. That he's pleased with us. He's proud for us, as it were. But that's a pretty good picture. I like that. He lifts up his countenance to us. Lifts his face up again to us, is what he's saying. The Lord lift up His approving countenance, the Amplified says, upon you and give you peace. Anybody need peace?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's what God gives. That's the kind of help God gives. Anybody want to get better?
Yes.
I do. Anybody want more? Be kinder, nicer? You know, when you get old, you don't think, man, I wish I was a little meaner when I was growing up. I mean, at the end of your days, you're always going to wish you were a little more merciful, a little kinder, a little more forgiving. You're not going to wish, man, I wish I'd have held that grudge just a little longer. You know, I wish I'd have separated myself from more people instead of reaching out to more people. I wish I'd have given more people peace in my mind. That's why you hadn't got any left. You give so much away. But now, when you get older, I'll tell you what, as you get older, you begin to wonder about some of the things you thought were so cool and so macho and so manly. Well, I told them, yeah, you did. You sure did. Told them what a knucklehead you were. And I just gave them peace of my mind. I tell you, I'm not putting up with that. Hello. Are you out there?
Come on.
I'm just seeing if I can touch a vein here before I leave. You know, you wish you'd been kinder. I'm not going to wish I blasted you more when I get older as a minister. I'm not going to wish that I condemn more people. I'm not going to wish I sent more people to hell. I don't send anybody to hell anyway. Are you with me? I'm not going to wish that. I'm going to wish I had been kinder. I'm going to wish I had been more, given more hope, given more help. I'm going to wish that I had led more people to Jesus, not pushed people away from Jesus. Help more marriages make it, not split more marriages. Give people more hope instead of destroy their dreams. Give them value and worth from the Scripture and from God as a minister of the gospel, that I would give them more value and more worth and give them a hope and a destiny. I'm going to wish that more than I wish I destroyed their dreams and took away their hopes and took away their destiny. Church is not a place where you're supposed to get beat over the head. I think it's a place where you get convicted, and that's good. But conviction is not condemnation.
Right.
Conviction is when you come in and you realize you hadn't done right. You realize that you have sinned. You realize that you can do better than this. It's a place where you repent. Conviction brings you to repentance. And it gives you hope, and it gives you a future. It shows you that God loves you, and He's for you, and not against you. Conviction is good. I love conviction. I want to be convicted when I sin. I don't want to be condemned, but I want to be convicted. Make sense?
Yeah.
And so you'll get that in church. That's good. But you should come church and, man, you ought to walk out here better than you walked in. Hallelujah. Walk out of here with your head up, held high, with a good picture of God and who He is, knowing He's with you, never to leave you, never forsake you, lo, I'm with you to the ends of the earth, knowing that He'd be with you even through that valley of the shadow of death, Lord, I am with you, my rod and my staff, they comfort you, knowing that He'll guide you with His hand and guide you with His eye, that He goes before you, knowing that God is on your side. Hallelujah. If God be for you, who can be against you? You ought to walk out there knowing that God is greater, the greater one's in you, and greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. You ought to know that you're more than a conqueror through Him that loved you, that you've got the victory through Christ Jesus. Praise God that He always calls you to triumph in Christ, and that you are born of God, and whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. You're a world overcomer. Hallelujah. You're born of God. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things become new. You got a name in heaven. Hallelujah. You got reservations in heaven waiting on you, that when you leave here, you're going right into glory. Hallelujah. Amen. You ought to walk out here with your head high.
Yes. That's good.
Woo!
That's good.
See, you ought to get blessed in church in a good way, convicted in a good way, directed in a good way. My prayer is that I charge you, and I challenge you, and that I change you with the Word of God and the presence of God. That's the way it should be. And if you think God hates you, you got another thing coming. I never knew what that saying meant, but I used to say it all the time, and I still say it. You got another thing coming. Mama used to tell me that, and I tell my kids the same thing. God does not hate you. God is for you. God's holy. No question. You need to get right. No question. But there's hope for you. Amen.
Amen.
Woo! Okay. So the Lord bless you and watch you, guard you, and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you, enlighten you, and be gracious, kind, merciful, giving favor to you. The Lord lift up His approving countenance upon you and give you peace, tranquility of heart, and life continually. You know, John 10:10, Jesus said it. He said, the thief comes to kill, steal, destroy. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. God wants you to have abundant life. And there's things you got to do. We're not saying that bad things aren't going to happen in life. Life's full of crisis. We're in a fallen world. You know, there's loss, there's tragedy, I understand that. But there's help and there's hope and there's healing when that does happen. And you still got a future in Him. Amen? You have someone you can call on, someone you can trust in, someone that loves you. God, see, this is just not religious talk here. God really loves you. He cares more for you than you do for yourself. He is more concerned about you than you are for yourself. He desires to hear from you more than you want to hear from Him. He really does. You ought to say hello every once in a while. You know, if you love God. I mean, I love Brenda, and I tell her all the time. I don't just show up once a week. Love you, honey. Or Christmas, Easter, and other holidays. That's, you know. Okay, I got the meddling now. I quit preaching. But if you love somebody, you tell them. You say, you know, you ought to tell God you love them. You ought to say, God, I love you. I thank you. God, I'm so grateful. And I am so grateful myself. I think about my life before Jesus. I think about where I was without Him. And think about the way it is now with Him. And, you know, I haven't been perfect because I haven't been perfect. But He's been perfect. He's been good.
Yeah.
I've got a great life. I got a great family. I got a wonderful church. I got peace. I got confidence for the future. I got courage for the future. I got hope for the future. Hallelujah. Because the Lord has blessed me. Woo! This helping you?
Yes.
So you go through this and he says, of course, the word peace, I think that's an awesome word there. That's the word shalom, which is power packed. That is a loaded word in the Hebrew. The Lord give you peace. Well, he ends that blessing up. Peace is more than just a state of mind. You know, we would often think of peace in terms of being calm. You know, chill out, quit panicking. But shalom, the word translated peace there, and you've heard that. Everybody's heard the word shalom. You know, that word is peace. It's welfare. It's prosperity. It's health. It's all those things. In fact, it's translated prosperity in the Old Testament, not just peace. Translated welfare. So, if you want to prosper, live long and prosper, then you need shalom. You need the peace of God. And that's what God gives. This is called the priestly blessing. Think about it. This is one of the duties of the priest, to get up and bless the people of Israel, God's people. It's one of my duties as a pastor, to get up and bless you. Instruct you, yes, but bless you. And never leave without blessing you somehow, some way. You know, encouraging you somehow, some way. I have been anointed by God to encourage you and build you up. I have not been anointed by God to tear you down, destroy you. I can do that, but I'm on my own when I do that. If I want to encourage and bless you, I have His help. He helps me do that. If I want to tear you down, I'm on my own. He won't help me do that. He doesn't have that kind of help to offer. Because God loves us. He's for us. Amen? And he ends it up saying this. I love the way he says it. It says, "And they shall put my name upon the Israelites. And I will bless them." Man, I love that. You know, I took on His name when I accepted Jesus. I took on the name of Jesus. And whom all blessings flow. From whom all blessings flow. In whom all the hidden treasures of wisdom are. In Jesus. The name that's above every name. All principality and power, all spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, rulers of darkness of this world. The name Jesus above it all. And that name's been placed on me. I'm a Jesus person. When I accepted Jesus, I was married to Him spiritually speaking. I connected with Him. I became one with Him. I was lost till I found Him, or He found me. And I accepted Him and became a Christian. And that's what we are, whether we're Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Catholic, Church of Christ, Lutheran, the list goes on and on. A lot of great churches. We're pro-church. But ultimately, we're eternally Jesus' people. That's who we are. We're talking within Christendom, within the Christian faith. We have turned our lives over to Jesus. We've taken on His name and everything that comes with that name. You know, in this sense, the word name here means more than just a name, but all that goes with it, the fame. In other words, the fame of God will come upon us. God becomes famous when He blesses us. Do you know that? I'll put my fame, my renown upon them. What I'm known for. Isn't that good?
Yes.
And that's what we should put on people, is what God's known for. That's what I should bless you with, is what God is known for. We know what He's known for according to His Word. And He's known for a lot of good things. God is known for, ultimately, those who read the Bible, not those that don't. Those that just criticize it, have other ideas about God. But if you really read the Bible, you'll find out God is known for forgiving people. He is known for making winners out of losers. He's known for miracles. He's known for healings. He's known for peace. He's known for mercy. He's known for grace. He's known for goodness. He's known for love. God is love. That's what He's known for. And so that's what I should put on you. Place His fame and His renown upon you. As a minister, that's what we should do as Christians when we share about Him. You know, I think the greatest asset God has in the world to promote Him and to exalt Him is the church. I think the greatest problem God has to promote Him and to make Him known is the church. Got it? We're the best He's got going. We're the worst He's got going. When we're good, we're very, very good. When we're bad, we're very, very bad. Everybody's got a story about a church, about a pastor, or about a Christian. Oh, well, I ran into this, or I went to this church, and this pastor, you wouldn't believe, and then they're not serving God now because of that. Hello. But the problem was not Jesus. The problem was not the Word. The problem was those that were representing Him. Now, I don't want to be at fault there. I want to represent Him right. I want to, as a pastor, bless like He says to bless. To bless and curse not. I'm not anointed to curse. I'm anointed to bless. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. That's good preaching. Oh, I'm so excited. Woo! Y'all settle down. Let me preach this message. You see the same theme. I mentioned Psalm 67. If you have time, you ought to go read just 7 verses. You ought to go read it. It starts out basically the same way. But you see the same theme of God's countenance, His face, His healing. His favor coming upon us. This is God's will for your life. I don't know what you're going through. You may be in the middle of a mess. I don't know. But I know God wants to help you get out of that mess. You may be addicted. I don't know. I have no idea. You know, there's people come from all walks of life. You may have all kinds of sins, all kinds of problems you're dealing with. But this could be a new day for you. I know that. Maybe it's not that great or that big. Maybe it's something little, something that's gnawing at you, you know, as a Christian. Maybe you love God and serving God, but you've got something that's really bothering you. Let me tell you something. God came to rescue you from your sins. He came to save you from your sins. Not just from the penalty of them, but from them. Okay? So He will help you overcome that. Anger, if that's the case. Gossip, if that's the case. If you're just too mean, you don't want to be so mean. Hello? Anybody mean, been mean before? Brenda used to be terrible. I mean, she's gotten better at it. But I'm just kidding. That was mean of me to say that. I just shouldn't even said that. But anyway, you know, we can get over things, but there's hope for us. We're not helpless. We're not stuck in a rut here. Hallelujah. We can get out of that mess, whatever it is. God can help us. And He's here to bless us. Let me read this to you one more time. We'll close this out. Does this help you? I know it's not a lot of verses. I just wanted to bless you with this. That's what it's about. That's what priests do. That's what I'm supposed to do. If they did it in the old covenant and it was good, it ought to be twice as good in the new covenant. Because we have a better covenant built on better promises, Hebrews tells us, with more excellent promises. We have more excellent priesthood. And every bit of the good in the old, we still got in the new. We just lost all the bad stuff. We've been redeemed from the curse that was dependent on our flesh and our works. Now we're benefiting from the works of Jesus. Out of the Amplified, let me read this again. Starting in the 24th verse through the 27th, we'll wrap this up so y'all can beat the Baptist to the Dairy Queen. The Lord bless you and watch you and guard you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and enlighten you and be gracious and kind and merciful and giving favor to you. The Lord lift up His approving countenance upon you and give you peace, tranquility of heart, and life continually. And then he ends it and says, They shall put my name upon the Israelites, and I will bless them. See, this is not me blessing you. This wasn't the priest blessing you. Oh, they were saying the words. But he was saying, I will bless them. This blessing comes from God. I don't have the power to bless in the sense that, you know, I'm supernaturally more endowed than anybody else. God's the one that blesses. Amen? And as we say those things and commit our lives to those things and share those things, I tell you what, His renown and His fame and His name will be known on the earth. You know, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I've said it the last couple of weeks. The world out there knows what we're against. I think it's high time that we as the Church of God let them know what we're for.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yes.
And you ought to know what we're for. What does that mean to be a Christian? What are we for? Not what we're against. Come on, what are we for? We're for people. We're for heaven, for hope and restoration. We're for healing, we're for destiny, we're for encouragement, we're for building up, we're for dreams coming true, hallelujah. We're for you becoming the best you could ever be. And that will only happen through Jesus Christ. It will not happen outside of Him. It won't happen through just thinking positively. It won't happen through just trying to be good, because one day, as good as you may be, you're going to die. And there's two choices left, heaven or hell. And heaven comes through those that know the Lord Jesus Christ, those that call on His name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.